Good evening to you. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. I'm really appreciative of that. tonight we're going to have a look at just a short passage in Matthew chapter 15, and it's verses 21 to 28. So it's Matthew 15, 21 to 28, and just going to ask Anona to read that to us if she would.
It's the faith of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demonic possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. God bless his word.
Thank you. I love that passage of scripture. It's a story that is probably quite familiar to many of us. And in my Bible, it is entitled The Faith of the Canaanite Woman. And at times, we all need an encounter with Jesus. You know, it's true, he can lift the heaviest burden. He can move the highest mountain. He can do things that we can't even imagine that he can do, if we have faith enough to believe. But the passage is about much more than this, I believe. So I'm not really going to talk too much about the faith of the Canaanite woman. That's not to denigrate her faith in any way, but I believe there's some other things we can learn from this passage. And I'm going to try not to be too long, he'll be pleased to know. So I want to look tonight at what happens where Jesus is. What happens where Jesus is, because it's always special, often surprising, and wonderful to be in his presence. When Jesus is present, heaven comes down to earth, and we know that the extraordinary can happen. Is that true? So we're just going to go through this short passage, so that means it should be a short message. But you never know. Verse 21, it says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." So if we look at the previous chapters, Jesus had been in Galilee. He'd fed 5,000 people, miraculously. He had walked on water, quite miraculously also. He'd confronted the Jewish leaders, and he'd even offended them, much to the consternation of his disciples. So why did he go to the region of Tyre and Sidon? And until I started studying this passage, you know, it hadn't really occurred to me, but Tyre and Sidon was really outside of Israel in a land called Phoenicia, which was part of the Roman province of Syria. And it was an area of pagan worship. You know, they worshipped Baal and they worshipped Astarte. And just to give you an idea, you know the story about Ahab and Jezebel. Well, Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Sidon. That is why she worshipped those gods, those pagan gods. So why was Jesus there? That's another question I needed to ask myself. Why was Jesus there when in verse 24 of this passage he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel? So what was he doing outside of Israel? And here's the first thing to learn. And that's wherever Jesus is, there is a purpose for him being there. Wherever Jesus is, there's a purpose for him being there. Now, you may not think that that's very wonderful, because wherever we go, there's a purpose for us going there. If we're at school, it's to learn. If we're at work, it's to earn money to live. If we're at the supermarket, it's so we can eat. So, you know, it's the same as us, really. Wherever we go, there's a purpose for us being there. But with Jesus, I believe his purposes are above our purposes, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I think where Jesus is, sometimes the ordinary doesn't happen. Something extraordinary happens. But maybe, well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe he wanted a rest. Maybe he wanted a break from the Jewish leaders, because that was a place where they would not follow him. They wouldn't go to that place. They wouldn't mix with those people. And that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? If Jesus said to his disciples, we're going off to Tyre and Sidon, to that region, whether they argued with him and said, what are we going there for? We're Jews, we don't go there. But actually, they went because Jesus said, that's where we're going. Maybe he wanted to be alone with his disciples. Maybe he wanted to teach his disciples. And really, we don't know, do we? We don't know why Jesus went to the area of Tyre and Sidon. We don't know why he went to this pagan country. But it is possible that we may just pick up on that later on and learn something from it. But there's a purpose for Jesus being where he was. Verse 22 says to us, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So Jesus is in this pagan country, and they'd obviously heard about him. They'd heard about him outside of Israel. In fact, Mark's Gospel, in chapter 7 and verse 25, tells us that Jesus had gone to that place in secret. He didn't want anyone to know that he was there. And I find that quite interesting, really, because as we learn now, I think wherever Jesus goes, or wherever there is a move of the Spirit, people will find it. It's not something that can be done in secret. Anyway, this woman's pagan gods could not heal her daughter. She had obviously heard of Jesus, so she sought him out and she found him. And I think that's wonderful. So that gives us the second thing that we can learn from this passage. It's wherever Jesus is, people will know, people will seek him, and people will find him. Isn't that a fantastic thing to think about? Wherever Jesus is, people will know, people will seek him, and people will find him. Do you know, I guess in this area, we're quite a large church, aren't we? And we see new people coming. Some people go because they move on, but we see new people coming in. And I don't think it's because, or just because, we're a nice church. Yes, you're all nice people. Let me say that. And it's good here. But people don't come here just because we're nice people. They come here, I believe, with the expectation that here they will find Jesus. And that should be an encouragement to each one of us. Do you agree? You're very quiet tonight. That's why they come, because they've heard this is a place they can meet with Jesus. So that's a good thing. Wherever Jesus is, people will know, people will seek him, and people will find him. And also, wherever Jesus is, the presence of God is there. Those who are seeking God will recognize the presence of God. I think they will. If they come into a place where God is, where Jesus is, that will hit them if they're really seeking for him. So maybe this woman had been given one of those God appointments. You know, one of those God incidents, we call them, don't we? One of those God appointments. She was led to the right place at the right time because she knew that's where she would find Jesus. And that should be an encouragement to us as well. Verse 23 and 4 says, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. This woman, she had a lot to overcome. She was a Canaanite, which meant she was, in Jewish eyes, she was a cursed person. And she served, maybe, pagan gods. She had to overcome religion. Jesus was a Jew, and he gave her the right Jewish response. That was no response. She had to overcome, I believe, racism. The disciples wanted her sent away. Maybe they didn't even want to be there in the first place. They were uneasy away from the places that they knew. So maybe they felt threatened that this woman had found them and that she was making all this fuss about seeing Jesus. And I think she had to battle against that racism from them. And she seemingly had to overcome rejection from Jesus. He ignored her. He was indifferent to her. He was only sent to God's chosen ones. That's what he said. I've just come to the lost sheep of Israel. And there's another lesson for us there. And it's wherever Jesus is, there can be a testing. Wherever Jesus is, there can be a testing. And sometimes, even as Christians, and I felt this at times, and I guess some of you will have done as well, we feel we have no right to approach Jesus. So she was particularly brave in doing this. We feel we have no right to approach him sometimes. We think, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough faith. Jesus won't help me. Actually, that's doubt that is set in our hearts. I've been praying, but nothing happens. I feel like giving up. That's the way we can feel sometimes, even as Christians. But you know, I think what this passage tells us is that we have to trust Jesus and not doubt him, because that is our faith. And when we feel like that, I think it's one of either two things. I think it's either an attack from the enemy, and we blame the enemy for everything, don't we? Or maybe it's our own spiritual apathy. You know, perhaps we don't spend enough time in prayer or knowing the word or whatever, and so our expectation is low and we get just what we expect. And that can be discouraging for us. So this woman continued to be bold. And verse 25, it says, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. So I guess she pushed through the disciples and said, well, I'm going to see Jesus anyway. You can't stop me. Put simply, wherever Jesus is, he encounters real need. Where Jesus is, he encounters real need. You know, Jesus knows when we have a need. And sometimes he tests our faith in him to deliver. Some people come before him in desperation, but often I believe there are people that are desperate and they hold back from seeking Jesus and coming to Jesus because they're fearful of what people will think of them. They're fearful and they're afraid of being ridiculed if they seek out Jesus. And sometimes, even us who hold the key to the answers to their problem in introducing them to Jesus, sometimes we're fearful as well. And sometimes we're afraid of ridicule as well for confessing our faith and pointing people towards Jesus. So it's sometimes the desperate person, sometimes it's the Christian. But there is a fear and a fear of being ridiculed that stops the two coming together. Desperate people need radical solutions. And this woman recognized that Jesus held the solution to her problem. But it's interesting that the disciples, they didn't recognize any of that. They just didn't know what to do. They just wanted rid of this woman because Jesus wanted to be there alone with them. The world would say that it holds the answers to all of our problems. The world would say that religion is a crutch and of no value. But you know, I would say that we are not a people of religion. We are a people of faith. Is that true? We are a people of faith. The world cannot provide answers in the desperate times that we're living in. And when you look at the news, we are living in desperate times. And the only person with the answers to those desperate times is really Jesus. But he himself tells us in Matthew 24 that we're going to go through desperate and testing times in the last times. And I believe personally that we're in the last times now. But Jesus is still the answer to this world's problems. And it's a good thing to note, though, that great needs, if we bring them to Jesus, can become great testimonies. Great needs can become great testimonies. That's a good thing to hang on to, really. So wherever Jesus is, he encounters real need. If we go on to verses 26 and 27, Jesus replied to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And this woman's response to Jesus is fascinating, really. I wish I could think of such responses to people. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Because this is a response that's that Christians have known about for 2,000 years. You know, that woman will always be remembered for saying that. But you know what this tells us? It tells us that wherever Jesus is, there is opportunity. Wherever Jesus is, there is opportunity. You see, as a Canaanite woman, she had no right to approach the Jewish Messiah. Jesus questions why he should take what belongs to God's chosen people and give it to someone who is, in effect, a cursed person. And he's testing her again. But again, I think her response is amazing about the dogs eating the crumbs under the table, because you could interpret that as something else. Her response could be interpreted as, what are you doing here then? If you've only come to the, you know, to the children of Israel, why aren't you in Israel? What are you doing here then? You're not in Israel, you're here. And as you're here, I want to take advantage of that. And I think that's a bold thing for her to do. Just as I interpret it, but I think she's saying, you know, well, you're here, why not? You know? And Jesus' reply to that is fantastic, really. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So Jesus is in this foreign country, in a place where there are foreign gods. And this woman took advantage of the fact that he was there. And so he healed the woman's daughter. So again, wherever Jesus is, something will happen. Wherever Jesus is, something will happen. And something did happen. Her daughter was healed. But Jesus can do so much more than just bring healing to demon-possessed daughters. Jesus, by his presence, can bring reconciliation. He can bring understanding. He can bring help. He can bring wisdom. He can bring wholeness to us. As well, he can bring our material needs. But Jesus, he can help us in every situation. He can meet our every need if we come before him in faith. You see, faith answers our deepest, deepest needs. When we feel God has not answered our prayers, or when we feel he's not seen to our needs, then Satan can come in. He can come in through the open door and he'll say, God doesn't care. Don't bother anymore because things won't change. But you know, we know that God is able and God does care. And things can change because of who he is. This woman, and I said I wouldn't speak too much about her, but I quite like her actually, because she was persistent. Just as Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11. She took an opportunity, just like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment in Luke chapter 8. You know, she was healed from that issue of blood. She took an opportunity as well. But this woman also had faith, like the centurion in Luke chapter 7. You know, Jesus said to him, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. And it didn't come from an Israelite, it came from a Roman centurion. So there's a bit of a theme going on here with that Roman centurion and this woman who was a Canaanite. And Jesus worked in her life. Jesus told her, your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. So what does that tell us? It tells us that wherever Jesus is, there is authority. There is authority. Jesus was in a pagan society at the time, but he was still Lord, and he still overcame everything in that place. Where pagan gods could not heal her daughter, Jesus could. And in our pluralistic society, he still can. He still can heal. And sometimes he still does heal. And he still brings reconciliation. And he still brings wholeness. And he still brings material things when needed. He still does all of these things that we ask of him. And you know, with this woman's daughter, there was no shouting at demons, no long pleading prayer. just the presence of the Lord. Cool, calm, authority, because he knew who he was. Jesus spoke, and that healing just happened. I find that amazing. You see, we can, when we're praying for anything or with anybody for anything, sometimes we can just get involved in long prayers and, you know, deep ministry, and sometimes there is a place for that. But Jesus was cool, calm, showed his authority, spoke the healing, and it happened. So wherever Jesus is, there is authority. Another thing here, wherever Jesus is, there is a lesson to be learned. And maybe now we come to that purpose we spoke of earlier, of Jesus' visit to a pagan region. I believe his disciples needed to know that Jesus is Lord of all. And maybe he couldn't do that in Israel. Maybe he needed to teach them that lesson in a foreign place. He needed to teach them that he is Lord of all nations, of all tribes, and all tongues. He is Lord of everything. He is Lord of everyone. And I think that was a lesson they needed to learn. He was not restricted just to Israel. He was testing the woman as to her faith, but he was also testing his disciples. This is what I believe. He was testing his disciples, and to be honest, I think they failed their test miserably. Because they needed to recognize that Jesus loves all of his creation. And they were trying to just keep everyone away from Jesus. Because of their customs and because of their traditions, they had prejudices against a people who were different to them. When you look at it, it means that they lack the love that Jesus has for everyone. Maybe even they felt they were protecting Jesus in this pagan land. Perhaps they thought they were his armed guard, they were his bodyguard, they were looking after him and caring for him. They still hadn't really grasped who Jesus was and what he could do. So what can we learn from that? From this lesson? Well, we can learn that wherever Jesus is, he cannot be contained. Wherever Jesus is, he cannot be contained. He can't be put in a box and just brought out when he was needed. Jesus cannot be contained. He'll do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, where he wants to do it, and with whom he wants to do it. So he cannot be contained. And you'll be pleased to know, my next word on my note says, finally. Wherever Jesus is, there is a challenge. And this is the bit that always gets me, because I'm not very good at answering challenges. But there was a challenge for the disciples in what Jesus did in that place. But there is also a challenge for us. You see, the Bible tells us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus should be seen in us. Is that true? If we're really his people, Jesus should be seen in us. We should draw everyone we meet to Jesus because of who we are and the way we live if we are living in him. And that's difficult to do, but that's what we're asked to do. Where we go, Jesus should be there with us because of who we are, because we're his. All who are searching for Jesus should find him in us. We as Christians hold the answer for those people in need. We are to turn no one away. I'm thinking here of maybe destitute people, drunks, drug addicts, offenders, the socially unacceptable, foreigners, people of other faiths, the sick, the needy, the list goes on and on and on and on. But Jesus loves them all equally. He loves them as much as he loves us. And he wants that they should meet with him as we have met with him. Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, verse 32, that he will draw all men to himself and women. All men and women to himself. And I believe he uses us to bring them to him so he can do a work in their lives. The presence of God in us should bring them in these last days. And I believe that there are people out there, even in this town, who are seeking. But maybe the response of Christians, and I include myself here, isn't all as it should be. And I was thinking when I was reading this chapter, are we really different now from the way the disciples were then? You know, they needed to learn lessons. And maybe we need to learn lessons as well. And the interesting thing is this, that after Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Spirit, the disciples faced the challenge that Jesus set before them, and they went on to be such good witnesses, many of them laying down their lives for Jesus. And I find that a real challenge. And so I'll finish with this. Because the challenge for us is, have we faced that challenge? Have we picked up that challenge? And are we as good a witness as we could be? I don't think I am. And I don't know about you. You're probably a lot better witness than I am, all of you. But that is the challenge that I got from this passage. The disciples, they learned because they were with Jesus. And then they were able to do what Jesus asked them, even to giving up their lives for him. And that's what I find a real challenge to me tonight. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this passage of Scripture. And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, the passage. And so I would guess it should hold real meaning for us. It's not just a nice story. It gives us a challenge as to how we live our Christian lives and whether people really do see Jesus through us. Whether they really have the opportunity to meet Jesus through us. And whether they have the opportunity to bring their need to Jesus through us. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that as we go out into the world this week, we would ensure that you're with us. That we pray each day for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that people might see you in us and respond to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.